Now it's time for Pastor Peter. Over to you, Pastor Peter, and whatever God's put on your heart. Let's all stand. Yeah.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, friends. Thank you. It's such an honor to be here this morning. Grab a seat. Grab a seat. I'm so glad you didn't cry, because if you had, I think I'd have gone too. Sam and I, wow. When I went to Jubilee Church 11 years ago, I remember the first Sunday we had 80 people who came out to hear me. It was a church in real crisis, in real trouble. And then we had a Gideon revival, 45 people left, and the following week we had 35 people. And you need to understand that Sam and Jenny at that time had 6 kids, 3 of their own, 3 they were fostering. So it's like there they were with 6 kids, and then there was Jackie and I with our 6 kids. And then there was John Nash and his brother Andrew Nash, who between them had 6 kids. And so it's like, can you imagine that? You know, so that's 24 people there. So when I say 35 people, and then after a year, Sam said, "Oh, you know, we feel the Lord leading us to leave." And it was like Sam had been my greatest ally up until that time, I tell you, because in the early days, people didn't trust me, didn't know me. We traveled together one time to Denmark to the Bible College. And I did a seminar for a week there, and I spoke every day, 3 or 4 times a day, actually. And Sam was blown away, and he said, "Man alive," he said, "that is amazing." He said, "Why can't you do that back in Chertsey?" And I said, "Well, Sam, it's all about the faith of God's elect." I said, "Right now, people are still figuring me out." I said, "Here in Denmark, they know me, they trust me." You know, Paul wrote an interesting thing. He said, "Paul, an apostle." It's the only time he wrote it in the New Testament. Most of the time he writes, "Paul, an apostle, by the will of God." But there's one time he wrote these words, "Paul, an apostle, according to the faith of God's elect." In other words, our response of faith can actually help a leader, a preacher, a teacher be better than they are. So when Jesus went to his hometown, it says this in the scriptures, he could not do many mighty works there, except he healed a few people because of their unbelief. Jesus was limited in what he could do. The eternal Son of God, who was filled with the Holy Spirit without measure, was limited by the faith of God's people, or should we say the unbelief of God's people. I remember when Sam and I traveled together, I was just in my zone. I was doing, and he was kind of going, "Wow." He says, "Why can't we see that in Jersey?" I said, "Well, it's real simple, Sam. You know, a prophet doesn't have any honor except in his own country, among his own people." And I said, "We need to build the faith of this community so that we can see what God wants to do." And so when Sam came to the Lighthouse, you know, it was really challenging for Jackie and I, you know, because I knew he was a man of integrity and I knew he was a man of conviction. And so we made a decision, even though it was going to be our loss, we were going to bless it. We were going to get behind it with our weight. We were going to honor that conviction that they had. And I'm so glad we did. Sam and I have journeyed, like he said, for 10 years together. And Barry and I think it's nearer 30 years. Barry was a teenager when I met Barry. And so you just need to know, as a church, there's a lot of history here. This is not like we're not new people to one another. We've journeyed together. We've trusted each other. We've laughed together. We've cried together. We've sacrificed together. We've seen good times and we've seen bad times. We've seen God do amazing things, and then we've wondered, how are we ever going to get through this? And it's just an honor. And Sam, I really want to honor you and Jenny. I mean, we're going to pray for you later. I've got a message I want to do. But I just want to tell you, when you meet people like Sam and Jenny, I've been around ministry for 40 years, doing church for a long time. Here's what's so amazing. I've been to churches where I've seen church leaders who are great church leaders, but they reproduce after their kind. In other words, you can go to where there's a great Nigerian pastor, and you know what? It's full of Nigerians. and you get a great Sri Lankan pastor and it's full of Sri Lankans. And you get a great Ethiopian pastor and it's full of Ethiopians. And what I love about Sam and Jenny, and if you're not sure about this, look at the children that they foster. They want people in their church from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. It's not just a Sri Lankan church. It's not just a, you know, a brown church. It's a church, you know what I'm saying? Where any color is welcome. Any background is welcome. Any ethnicity. And you know what? I'm a complete mess. Because my mother's Italian, right? I know it doesn't look like it. That's because I take after my father. My brother is he got all the good genes. How unfair is that? He's 6'2". He had black hair. He was athletic. He looked like an Italian. How many of you know Italian men are good looking? Their character might be a lot to be desired, but they're good looking. You know, they're like Joey Tribbiani. How you doing? You know? And then there was me, you know, and I'm so glad I am more brown than ginger. The ginger breaks out here. But I'm so glad it didn't break out here because my father is Welsh. I really could have been done for. You know, Ed Sheeran and I could have been pen pals. You know, and so there I was, you know, with the ginger, slightly ginger look, asthmatic, 2 inches shorter than my brother. It was just unfair.
We love you, Peter.
Thank you. I'm trying to work the sympathy vote here. And and so I'm a mixed background. And then my wife, she's a mixed background. Because her father was born, he's white, but he was born in India. Right? That's how we learned to make curry. And her grandfather was born in India. And her mother is Prussian. And that country doesn't even exist today. It's like if you're a millennial, you say, where's Prussia? Well, it doesn't exist. It was a bit of Poland and a bit of Estonia and a bit of Latvia and a bit of Germany. And Prussia was a powerful empire at one time. And that's why we ended up with the First World War, because the Kaiser getting assassinated. I'm giving you history now, aren't I? So she's a complete mixture as well. And we did DNA tests, by the way. She's 6% Indian. I'm wanting to tell you, somebody somewhere did something naughty. So you know, all I'm saying is, if you do DNA tests, everybody's a mixture. Everybody. And what I love about Sam and Jenny is their heart to welcome everybody. It isn't about your background. It isn't about your education. It isn't about your ethnicity. It isn't about your history. It's about your destiny and about your calling and about what God has put on your life. And these two people champion that in a brilliant way. I'll say more about them a little bit later. I want to read to you from John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I don't know if the text will work. Oh, look at that. How about that? John 4. Look at this lovely, lovely scripture. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. This is after the conversation with the woman at the well in John 4, in the Samaritan woman. And the consequence of Jesus having that encounter with this woman is that she goes back to her village, and she's obviously well known in the town. You know, she's had 5 husbands. The man she's living with is not a husband. It's like you get the impression everyone knows who she is. But she goes back to this village and she says, come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did. And they go out to meet Jesus and they have this encounter with Jesus. And as a result of this encounter, they then say to this woman, we believe not just because of your testimony, but because of how we've experienced Jesus. And virtually the entire Samaritan village comes to faith in Jesus Christ. Virtually the entire village. This is one of the few times, the other time is in the book of Acts when Dorcas gets raised from the dead, and then there's an entire town that comes to faith there. These are 2 times in the Bible where an entire community come to faith. Isn't that exciting? And so as a result of this happening, this event, Jesus makes this comment. And he says this in verse 37 to his disciples, for in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. Now, how many of you know the reaping end is a lot more fun than the sowing end. Eh? Because the sowing end is flipping hard work. You've got to break up fallow ground. You've got to plant seed. You've got to work at the right time and at the right moment. And then you've got to pray that the weather is good throughout that season so it gets the right sun, it gets the right amount of water, and you look forward to a harvest. And if you're the guy who has sown and sown and sown, and then all of a sudden, a whole group of reapers are hired. How many of you know when there's a harvest time, you need more people in the harvest than you do to sow? Are you aware of that? Sowing is easy for a small group. Reaping is very difficult for a small group. You need a big group of people. But how many of you know when you hire all the reapers, they didn't do the hard work you did? But they get the benefit of your sowing. And Jesus is saying to these disciples, you don't know it, but before we showed up to this village, and before we saw this amazing revival and people coming to faith, somebody was here before us. And he doesn't tell us who they are. He doesn't name them. They're unnamed heroes, but they sowed. I don't know about you, but I kind of feel sorry for John the Baptist. I kind of feel sorry for him. Because he's the forerunner to Jesus. And John is hidden in the wilderness until the day of his appearing to Israel. So he has a very obscure life in the wilderness. How many of you know the wilderness is not the sexiest place in the world to live? The wilderness. It's like, it's pretty barren. There's not a lot of stuff out there. It's not the exciting place. You know, they don't have restaurants. They don't have discos. They don't have, you know, there's no excitement in the wilderness. And John is out there until he's appearing to Israel. And then he's for a period of time proclaiming, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And people are coming in droves. And the Bible says he's there to prepare the way for the Lord. In other words, Jesus' ministry would not have been successful without John's ministry. Have you ever thought about that? He's the forerunner. And then when Jesus finally shows up, John says these words in John chapter 1. He must increase and I must decrease. It's like, don't you feel sorry for him? It's like, but John, you did all that hard work. You prepared people's hearts. They came out to see you in the wilderness. You were the greatest prophet out of the mouth of Jesus, born among women. Surely there must be a great future for you. Yeah, my future is in God. I need to decrease, he needs to increase. And it's like, wow, what an attitude. What an attitude of being willing to sow his life into something that prepared the way for somebody else to reap and get the benefit of it. Well, I want to suggest to you this morning that this couple is like that. They have sown and sown and sown. They have sown and sown. You guys, you're going to reap. But we need to honor the fact somebody sowed. Somebody paid a price. Somebody said yes to preparing the way for others. You know, I've also resigned as the senior pastor of Equippers Church in Chertsey. And, you know, it's I don't know, it's about 1,300 people. People said to me, well, why are you resigning, you know? Because in my heart, I have a vision for a church of 7,000. I feel that that was given from the Lord. We're about 1,300. Well, look, there's more to go. How can you resign now? Well, it's easy. When a vision comes from heaven, it's never one man's responsibility to fulfill it. When Jesus was discipling his 12, he had a vision to reach the world. In Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. Well, Jesus only ever preached around Jerusalem, Galilee, Judea. He went into Sidon. He went into Decapolis. That was it. Jesus' ministry was within the limits of a territory that is the size of Wales. That's as far as he preached. That's as far as his mission went. But then he passed on the baton of his vision and his mission to others and said, now, from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, the Holy Spirit is going to take you. Be my witnesses wherever you go. Do you get that? It's never dependent on one man. So I'm confident that vision will be fulfilled, not through me directly doing it, but through other people I've invested in and discipled. And Sam and Jenny have invested in and discipled people. And the greatest testimony for everybody in Lighthouse, the greatest way you can honor this couple is be everything God has called you to be in this place. That's the greatest way you can honor their legacy and their investment in you. Jesus made two very bold moves. The first was this. He came. The second was this. He left. They were two of the boldest moves you could ever make. Because in coming, in Philippians chapter 2, the eternal Son of God humbled himself. He put aside his glory. The Bible says he emptied himself. And he was found in fashion as a man. But not only did he humble himself to become a human being, he humbled himself to become a servant. So that Jesus didn't come as a power monger. He didn't come like Caesar came to conquer. He wasn't like Alexander the Great. He came as a servant to serve people. And here's the thing about the quality of a servant. A servant is never threatening to anybody. A king can be overwhelming. When you're in the presence of a king, there's an etiquette, there's a protocol, there's a way you have to behave in the presence of a king. You don't have to behave that way in the presence of a servant. Have you ever met anybody famous at any time? I remember one time when Jackie and I were in a restaurant in Richmond and two of my favorite actors walked in. It's like, I couldn't believe it. Matthew McFadden and Keeley Hawes, they're actually married to each other. And at that time, you know, I was big into Spooks, the TV series, and they both were acting in that series at the time, and they've gone on and done loads of other things. And they were there in this restaurant, and she went off to the loo, I think, and I thought, I can't resist it. And I went down, and I took her place, and I sat right opposite Matthew McFadden, and I said, you are awesome. You are brilliant. I just want to tell you, you're a fantastic actor, and I really, really love the stuff you do. And he goes, oh, thanks very much. And then I said, and now I'm going to leave you alone and not be too weird. Went back to my table. But it took me like 10 minutes to get up the courage to do that. But how many know, when you walk into a restaurant and one of the waiters comes up to you and says, where would you like to sit? Nobody goes, oh, I'm so tongue-tied. I'm so overwhelmed by this servant, by this waiter. I don't know what to say. Like if Tom Cruise came up to you in a restaurant and said, where would you like to sit? You'd go, it's Tom Cruise. Do you know what I mean? Jesus didn't come as a star. Jesus didn't come as a celebrity. Jesus didn't come to overwhelm people with his presence. He came as a servant. And because he came as a servant, you know what he did? He removed every power differential that you could find in society. And every area of society has power differentials. You've got generals, you've got soldiers. You've got teachers, you've got students. You've got employers, you've got employees. There's a power differential wherever you go in society. So Jesus said, I'm going to take away every power differential that would make it difficult for people to be drawn to me. I will come as a servant. He humbled himself. But not only did he come as a servant, the Bible says he went one step further. He became an obedient servant, even to the point of death. And that's why at the end, right there in the Garden of Eden, Jesus said these words, not my will, but yours be done. The ultimate surrender. He surrendered his future into the hands of his Father, believing that it would still be a good future. That the cross was not the end. He endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy set before him. Because Jesus could look down through history and see you and you and you and you and me. It was a bold move to come. I think it was an even bigger and more bold move to leave. Because he's been through the cross now. It's like the worst is over. It's done. He is now crowned king in Psalm 2. He's now Lord of Lords. He's now the supreme over all things in Ephesians chapter 1. But he leaves it to a group of people who are not fully mature, not fully where they need to be. It's like they're on the road, but they're not complete. What a bold move. It's like for most of us, we say, no, 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 wait a little longer. No, 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 they just need a little bit more. It's like, no, they've had 3 years. That's enough. What? Are you kidding me? And it's like, oh my goodness. Jesus trusts us more than we trust each other. Jesus believes in us more than we believe in one another sometimes. And I loved that he says, you know, it's good for you that I'm leaving. Because I'm not leaving you orphans. I'm not leaving you alone. You don't have to just rely on your training. I'm leaving you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, who is with you, and he'll be in you. And the wonderful thing about the Church of Jesus Christ today is that we're not left alone. The Holy Spirit is present to empower us, to gift us with his grace, and to help lead us into all truth. And as we follow the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit will invite us to do things we wouldn't normally do. The Holy Spirit will invite us to go places we wouldn't normally go. But the Holy Spirit, in the same way that Jesus did. And sometimes it's not comfortable. You know, my friend Sam Chand, he has a particular way of phrasing things. He says this, all change equals loss. All loss equals pain. Therefore, all change equals pain. And none of us, Viktor Frankl made this statement. Viktor Frankl was a Holocaust survivor. He ended up developing a psychological process called Logos therapy. Viktor Frankl made this statement once. He said, nobody makes any significant change in their life until they're motivated to do so by pain. In other words, when you hurt enough, you change enough. That was his theory. And I think he's capturing something about human nature. But all change process is difficult. And so today is about a change of leadership. Today is about handing over a baton of leadership. But we're doing that from a place of faith and a place of trust and a place of expectation. Do you get that? And when I say a place of faith, we're trusting God for the future. Okay? We're trusting God for the future. When I say trust, I mean that this guy and I have journeyed together for 10 years. We know each other. We trust each other. And when I said to Sam, I've got a great couple who we've been working with for 6 years. I've got a great couple. They've been to Bible college. They've traveled extensively. They've said that their lives are about ministry and about serving the kingdom. Sam, I think they'd be great for this context. Because he trusts me, and because you trust him, I'm commending this new couple to you. I'm commending him to you. We're not giving you our worst. We're giving you our best. Because we want to see God continue to do something here in New Malden. He who has begun a good work. This couple have helped in the developing of the good work here. He's begun a good work. He's going to complete it. So we look to God to finish it. By the way, I just want to say to the worship team, thank you. Girls, you were absolutely terrific this morning. You really brought the presence of God. I really honor you. Thank you so much. Bless you for doing that. So great that you could be, Olivia. So lovely that you could visit and be part of this. Thank you for doing that. So here's Jesus. He says, other men have labored, you've entered into their labors. In other words, I think what Jesus is really saying to these guys, when you go to bed tonight and you look at one another and you want to slap each other on the back and say, wasn't that a great revival we were involved with? Didn't we do really well? Oh, the preaching was so good. The preaching was so good. Look at all those people that responded to the preaching. And it's like the temptation is to go, you know what I mean? Oh, I was just amazing. Jesus going, you know, someone else labored. You entered into their labors. Hey, don't you love it when your mum prepares Christmas dinner? Don't you love that? And all you have to do is eat it. And then you talk to all your friends about, oh, we had the most amazing Christmas dinner today. Oh, it was fantastic. It was 5 courses. It was unbelievable. Oh, you should have been. It was unbelievable. Well, what did you do? Yeah, I ate it. You know, sometimes we talk about stuff like we prepared it, like we were involved in it. Yeah, you were. You were involved at the end. But somebody labored. Somebody labored. I want to read to you a scripture. Maybe Sam and Jenny, you can come up. We're gonna transition this now and pray for you guys. Let's have Barry up. Jackie, come on up. We love you guys.
Oh, thank you.
It says this. When I find it. Okay. We urge you, brethren, this is 1 Thessalonians 5:12. We urge you, brethren. We're the brethren, okay? The brothers and sisters. Recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. It goes on to say this. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Sam and Jenny, you are the epitome of this verse. You have labored, you've admonished, you've served, you've sown. There's going to be a reward. And thank you, both of you, that you said yes. Thank you. Thank you that you said yes to God. Thank you that you said yes to each other. Thank you that your family said yes to following. You said yes to serving, yes to giving. We really honor you today as a couple. I also want to honor Bob, who's just, maybe you could come up here, Bob. Bob has been in this church, I think, since the beginning. I don't think the church is older than him. He's probably about 4 when it started. But Bob, you've been such a champion of this couple. I've watched how, when I challenged you that this man needs the space to lead, you created that space. You really helped to do that. You've been an amazing support to this couple. So I want to honor Bob as well. I want want to say thank you to you and your wife and just the way you've received this couple. You've been amazing. But, you know, it ends up saying, rejoice always.
Yeah.
And Sam, my prayer for you and Jenny is that in this next season, even if there's tears, and I know what that's like. I've been through that with my own process. I hope they're tears of joy out of the gratitude of the investment you've made and the way you've helped people. But I hope rejoicing is the thing that actually characterizes the next season. You are a joyful person. Have you noticed whenever Sam phones you, he starts to laugh? Have you noticed that? He'll go, hello, ha, ha, ha. And then I'm smiling. No matter what mood I'm in, this guy gets me smiling immediately. Sam, that's just who you are. You're just a joy bucket. You're full of the joy of the Lord. And that's what sustained you. And Jenny, you've just been so faithful. You help create environments where people feel safe and where they feel welcomed. And it's just lovely. It's been lovely to watch. It's been lovely to see your family that keeps on growing and growing and growing, because you keep on embracing more and more of these young people who need love and need acceptance. You help create that. We really honor you today. So what I'd love us to do, if we could stand to our feet, I want you to stretch out to this couple. And I want you to know that we're going to use them at Equip Us. We've got several congregations, and if you don't see them for a while, don't worry, they're still around. Sam will continue to be a trustee, as will I. Chris will join that group of people, and so there's still going to be a role to play in the future, but the role of leadership now is changing, and so we want to honor you. And so Sam, right now, in Jesus' name, we bless you. We bless you, Jenny. Our hearts are filled with joy, gratitude, and thankfulness for all that you've done into Lighthouse Church. Just want you to know that the pleasure of the Lord is on your life. And so, Father, we, in a way, we lift off that mantle of leadership now that they've had to carry, and we release them into the next stage, the next phase, the next part of your purpose and plan together. We release them with joy. We thank you that the path of the just is as a shining light. It shines more and more to the perfect day. And even though there may be a season where there's not the clarity that they desire, I thank you, Lord, that it will shine. It will become clear. And my prayer in this next season, Father, is that shalom would overshadow all that they are and all that they do, that the peace of God would be umpiring their hearts. We bless you. We thank you. We worship you, Lord.
As I was praying on the way here this morning, God said to me, if you get the mic, remind them of Elijah. And it's always dangerous to give a preacher a mic. You know that, don't you? But Elijah was an awesome guy. Many of you will know his story. He's the guy who called fire down from heaven. But his biggest goal was to turn the people's hearts back to the Father and say, why do you waver between two opinions? Come on, it's got to be me. And he was up against this awful woman, Jezebel, who was causing confusion and fear around. And I believe, Sam and Jenny, what you've done in this location is turn the people's hearts back to the Father. And it's been tough. And your ministry's brought some fire here, which has been really awesome. But it wasn't Elijah that ultimately destroyed Jezebel. It was Elisha. And when Elijah was about to go, there was this confusion amongst the people. He's going to go. He's going to go. The Lord says he's going to go. And you know what he went in? He didn't die. Elijah went in a whirlwind. These guys aren't dying. They've got more to do. It's going to be better for them. And I've had some communication with the leadership team, and they're saying this is all happening like a bit of a whirlwind. Well, do you know what it was supposed to? Because they're going in a whirlwind. but they're going into something better for them, and it will ultimately be better for you, because they've turned the hearts of the people back to the Father and brought some fire. But these guys are going to destroy what ultimately is hindering this location. There's going to be a double anointing on you guys, and we'll get you to hand that on in a moment. There's a double portion coming on these guys, and it's going to be better for you to follow these guys in this new season. But these guys aren't dying. They're going in a whirlwind. And it's going to be awesome. I hope that resonates with you. Father God, I just lift up this awesome couple. Come on, church, let's do this together. I lift up this awesome couple to you. We thank you for them. We thank you for the fire they brought to this place. Lord, keep that fire stirred in us all, Lord God. Never let it die down, Father God. But Lord, one of the things I know as a senior pastor you carry is the weight of it all. It's kind of unseen. People say, what do? Well, you carry weight. And I just say, release that weight right now in Jesus' name. It's not yours to carry anymore. Be free of it. Enjoy this new season. It's going to be a good season for both of you. I declare greater fruit in this new season than you've ever seen before. And you are leaving this church in a far better place than you ever found it. When Jesus came out of the water, the Father said to him, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Well, Sam and Jenny, you're my son, you're my daughter, I'm pleased with you. Well done, good and faithful servants. Guys, can we give them a round of applause? You've done an amazing job. Look what you've done.
Jackie.
Okay, just quickly. Well, I appreciate you both so much. I really do. And I just feel like, you know, it's just getting to know you over the you know, period of time since we've been here. I've just appreciated so much your friendship. And I just feel like, you know, when I think of Jesus and his ministry and as he went around, you know, he ministered to many people, but he was such a friend to people. And I feel that's a quality that you both have. And I think, I know everyone here values that. And I think that's the wonderful thing you can continue with in terms of just being friends. And I do believe that you'll just be, you know, used in a much wider context with your ministry, your teaching, and the way that you serve. But I think your quality of friendship is really important to many people. And that's something, yeah, I've really valued. So thank you.
Awesome. Now, Sam doesn't know I was going to do this, but we as a leadership will be honoring Sam and Jenny with some blessing financially. But if you want to be part of that, because they've sown into your life and they've made a difference, all you have to do at the end is just go and see one of the leaders or fill out a form and say love gift to Sam and Jenny, and we'll make sure they get everything that you give to them. Is that okay? So you know, we took an offering early on. That's the sort of running of the church. This is exclusively for this couple. So if they've invested in your life, if they've done something that bless you, can I just say, be wildly generous. Just go the extra mile. Just do something that really will bless this couple, because we want to make sure that they end well. And I think we got the flowers are not for you. Yeah. I think we have something special for you, Jenny. So there we go. Can we give them one more big, big clap? Thank you. Aren't they awesome? What a great, great couple. If you grab a seat for a moment, let's have Chris and Rachel up here. If you stay up here, Barry, Jackie, can you stay as well? Yeah. Well, I knew this couple when they were not married. So we saw the whole progress, and they were university students at Royal Holloway. And I've watched the way that they were passionate about seeing those students find Jesus and find faith. And I watched the way they served into that ministry so faithfully together. And then they started our what was called our intern program, which today is called our advanced program. They did that together. Then they got married, and they went to Bible college together. And, you know, this is a couple who are amazing at just stepping out in faith. Let me just tell you a few stories. So when they got married, they went off on a journey not knowing where they were going to stay or where they were going to go. And they just went from place to place. We actually ended up bumping into them in California, of all places. It's like, what are you doing here? And they said, well, we just happened to be here. And then when they went back to the UK, they didn't have anywhere to live. And we were on holiday, Jackie and I, so they ended up staying at our place. And just the way God provided for them in the most supernatural ways, this is a couple I want you to know who are not just talented and gifted, but know how to take steps of faith in God, looking for God to provide. And so I'm commending them to you. Now, I know they're young, okay, a lot younger than me. But here's the great thing about Chris and Rachel, is that behind them is a bigger leadership team that Chris is now part of, that this is now a location that we're going to be investing in the future. And there's a wisdom behind Chris. In other words, it's not just down to his leadership skill. There's a whole group of people journeying together. And I want you to know that, and I want you to rest in that. And it doesn't mean that you can't challenge things. It doesn't mean you can't ask questions. All of those things are perfectly valid. But it just means that they're not doing it alone. And so, Sam, if you can come up, we're gonna do a little prophetic act right now. We're going to do a prophetic act. Use this one, Sam. It's a bit more like a baton. In any relay race, how many of you know the most important point in a relay race is when you hand over the baton? I mean, no, if you drop that, that's it. That's curtains. And so, this is one leader who's sown and served well, handing over the baton. We're going to get a picture of this? Is that what we're waiting for? Okay, there we go. So if you stretch it out. Actually, Chris, if you can face that direction,
yeah,
like a relay runner. Yeah. And stretch out your hand back.
Yeah.
Look at that. Have we got the picture of that? Great. Now, I know that's a very, very simple act, but there's something prophetic in that simplicity. Because what Sam is doing is, along with me, along with the leadership team back there, along with the local leadership here, we're saying we're putting our weight behind you now, Chris. And the weight and responsibility is coming on you. Not alone. Not alone. There's other people in the background. There's other people locally. But we believe in you. We believe in you, Chris. We believe in you, Rachel. We believe God has put something on your lives. So I wonder if we could lay hands on them. Sam, Jenny, can you come and lay hands as well? Jackie? Bob, as one of the elders, can you come? Let's just stretch out to this couple now. Father, thank you for a young couple who could be ambitious, who could be pursuing careers, who could be pursuing money, who could be pursuing so many things the world has to offer, but have said, we want to pursue the kingdom, and we want the kingdom first, and we want his righteousness first in our lives. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would honor this couple in a very special way. I thank you that there's an anointing and a gifting that they carry together. And we honor that right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for the teaching ability and insight that you've given to Chris. Thank you for the heart of evangelism that you've given to Rachel for people. Thank you that you're going to amplify their ministries in this place. Thank you, God, that you're going to do something very special. And I just ask, Father, that as they walk, as it were, in humility, that there would be a reaping where they have not sown. And as they sow, they would make room for others to reap too, to join the reaping process. And we bless you. We bless you. Take heed to all the flock of God over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the flock. We give you this charge and commission today in the mighty name of Jesus.
Lord God, I just want to speak over them that double portion anointing. Enlarge your vision, Chris. Here's what I want to speak over you. This is a church of 40 people. Double that's 80. You're going to be 80 people within a year. And it's going to be through 40 salvations. There's going to be a salvation anointing on your teaching gift. Come on, church. Let's stir our faith. Can we? The Bible says, fan into flame the gift of God. You know, this is a fiery church. I fan into flame. Don't despise your youth. Fan into flame your gift. How exciting is it going to be for a church to see 40 salvations in this building? Full of people finding Jesus. They're not going to be able to pastor them on their own. They're going to need you to do it together. It's going to be a together thing. It's a double portion to you. Double portion to you. Double numbers. Double impact. Double prosperity. Double it. In Jesus' name. It's yours for the taking. Be bold and courageous. You've got this. You're the right man in the right place at the right time. Amen.
Yeah, you can give them a clap. It's a celebration. Did you girls want to play at all?
Okay. Well, Father, we just lift this couple up to you. We just put them in your hands, Lord. This is something that they just need to look to you in every way, and it's not something that they can do on their own, and they know that. And I just pray that they would just go from strength to strength, and that they would just know your peace, your wisdom, your comfort, and give them wisdom beyond their years, I pray, as they deal with so many different things as they go along, Lord, that they would just know your words and know your heart and your wisdom, and that they would just be able to just express everything about who you are. And just thank you for this couple. And we just really believe that this is something that you're doing, and you're working with them, and you're working in this church and in this area, Father. We just believe there's great things, there's great potential. So many people need to be reached, so many lives to be touched, Lord, and they've got a tremendous work ahead of them. But Lord, we just believe that you'll give them all that they need to do this. Amen.
Now, because of time, if you have a prophetic word for Sam or Jenny, or just a word of encouragement, or you have a prophetic word for Chris or Rachel, or just a word of encouragement, take the time to do that. If it doesn't work out today, write it down, send them a note, give them a phone call. Whatever happens, don't just let it be and say, oh, I lost my opportunity. Opportunities can be created by the Holy Spirit at any moment. Take the opportunity that is presented to you. Is that okay? Can we give God a big clap now? He is great. He is good. We bless you guys. You good?
Yeah. And we also have a bouquet of flowers for you and a gift just to bless you from the church. Let's put our hands together. Come on now. Thank you so much, Pastor Peter. Wasn't he amazing? Wasn't that an amazing word? I just love to. I can listen to you all day, and the way your exposition of the Word of God is just so clear and so easy to understand. I'm so grateful for this. So thank you very much for coming this morning, for blessing us, and for passing on the baton to this young couple here who God has positioned and placed in this house. I was, you may be seated. Sorry, you've been standing a long time. I was, this morning I was saying, Lord, what do you have for me to pass on? And I called it passing on the baton. I wrote a few notes here so that I was clear with what I was doing. And the passage I went to was in Joshua chapter 1. And the picture that came to me was Moses led the children of Israel in the wilderness. But it was Joshua who took them to the promised land. Joshua was willing to take the baton from Moses to lead God's people. And today I passed on this baton to you, Chris and Rachel. It's yours to lead the people here into their destiny, into their inheritance. Because we have been declaring, we have been praying for New Malden, for the surrounding areas, for a great move of God. And I believe it will come through your service and your ministry here. And God's promise is that He will be with you, that He will never leave you, nor will He forsake you. So be strong and of good courage. Observe all that God has commanded you to do. Don't allow the enemy to take you off course, but stay with the word, and God will prosper you, and you will have good success. Psalm 119, I don't know why I'm reading Psalm 119. That's the longest psalm book in the Bible, 176 verses. I'm not going to read them all, don't worry. And the first few verses says this: you are blessed when you stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God. You're blessed when you follow His directions, doing your best to find Him. So I want to bless you with those words as you take on the task of leading this house with everything that God has put in this place. And I just want to take a few moments, Jen, if you'd like to join me here. Nothing happens by yourself on your own. There are so many who get involved on your journey of faith. I just want to thank Jenny, because without a strong woman, a faithful wife, someone who can stand with you through the good times, the bad times, not everyone can do that. But Jenny has stood. So I just want to honor you that you stepped up. You took on the challenge and you carried it through. And I know she's a great connector with ladies. How many ladies here are connected with Jenny? So many ladies today are connected with her. It's because of that love she has for God and for people. So thank you. I also want to thank my children, because without them, I won't be able to do what I do today. Two of them are not here. Chloe is here. But young as they were, at 11 years of age, I put a guitar in one chap's hand, a bass guitar. I put a keyboard with drum beats on the other guy. And I put Chloe on the keyboards. And they played. They played. So I want to thank them for trusting in us and for taking us through. I want to thank our leadership team for standing with us, because it hasn't been easy for them. I do some crazy things sometimes, and if you speak to Bob, he'll tell you that. Moving church to this place was a kind of a crazy thing when we were comfortable in our own building. But we did that. So thank you to the leadership team for standing with me. I want to thank Barry again for your service with us. I think it's been 3 years now that you've been part of the church. And you've been an advisor to us, an encourager, someone who stood with us through the good and the bad. So I want to thank you as a friend, as a brother in Christ, and someone who really encouraged us. I like the spirit of encouragement on you. That's amazing. We could not do everything we have here without our wonderful setup team. We have a team of people that are so dedicated, and they show up every morning at 8:30. We couldn't have done it without you. I want to thank you today, and that you continue to serve so joyfully, so faithfully. I commend you for that, because that's a quality that I'm so proud of. something to leave for Chris and Rachel to say, wow, they have a great team of people who come together every Sunday morning. So thank you so much for standing with us. Every one of you here, present today, who have known us for many years, who've come to this church trusting, believing, seeing something that God has for this house, I want to thank you. I see some of our extended family are here. I see Unsa and Angie, they're here. I sent a picture to Pastor Peter when we were prayed out of Jubilee, and you two were in that picture. Did you know that? Many years ago, 10 years ago, they were in that picture, and they're here today. So we thank God for that. I want to thank you all for believing and trusting in what God put in us. But now God's taking you to bigger things and better things. You know, the vision is getting larger and larger, and we are backed by something bigger. And the thing that caused me to shift this church into what we're experiencing now is what I saw and I felt and I got at the conference in the Easter conference, the momentum. God said, it's time for us to get onto the wave, catch the power of the wave. And I believe we are now catching the power of that wave. And that wave is going to take us to the show. And church, I want to believe and trust this couple, because God's positioned them for this time, for this season in this house. And I want to give them everything you've got, because it's about the kingdom of God, not about us. It's about what we are doing for Jesus. Are we agreed with that? You think we can put our hands up and say, yes, I'm going to put my hands to the plow. I'm going to trust these guys and I'm going to go forward, because I want to build something great in this place. Thank you very much. Finally, to Pastor Peter and Jackie, thank you so much for coming this morning and for so beautifully and honorably blessing us and putting in place our new pastors, Chris and Rachel. God bless you and God be with you. Amen. Do you like to say something, Chris, as well?
I don't really think there's too much more to add, but thank you, Sam. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you, everyone here. It's a new season we're stepping into. I don't know what it's going to look like exactly, but it's going to be exciting. We've already caught the wave. Momentum's already been building. We've been prophesying together as a team over this place that the seats are going to be full, and just take a look around. So I'm believing for those 40 salvations and more. We're going to take this town by storm for the kingdom of God. Amen.
Okay, let's all stand together and let's go out with a song of praise unto our God. I just want to thank everyone this morning. And what about our worship team? They're amazing. They stepped up so much. I just want to say thank you. Christine came on in November last year, or December, I think it was. And she decided, I'm going to stay. I'm going to be part of what God's doing here. I want to thank you all for your dedication and commitment to this house and to the church. Thank you so much for what you do Sunday after Sunday. It's always amazing. It's always good. Amen.